I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, February 26, 2018.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a busy weekend?
You know what? I did. It's the last weekend of Black History Month, so I went to my last event last night for the month, I think, unless something else comes up during the week. But yeah, it's been quite busy. Yourself?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll tell you what I did later, but I did notice your posts over the month. You did make a point of pointing out that it was Black History Month, and then posting about someone in particular or an event that I think a lot of people need to know about, right? And I think you did that consciously this month, right?
Oh, absolutely. So as I'm posting them, some of them are things that I was already aware of, and some of them were facts that, you know, I was just learning new myself. So it was a learning experience all around and educational for a lot of people I know. People have been really enjoying it, which is great.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, I guess a lot of us wish that the rest of us would know our history better. And I think, yeah, Black History Month is a great month to get to know people and stuff that happened in the past. You know, and the fact that we're doing it ourselves.
Yes.
Posting about, you know, I mean, that's incredibly, I mean, it shows initiative, but you know, it shows the fact that you've learned something new, maybe, and you want to pass
definitely.
It on, right?
And, you know, it lets you kind of control what you want to learn and how you're learning it, right?
Yeah.
I think the other great thing about it is being able to do it with my children as well, and kind of introducing them to this small but yet really large and very welcoming Black community that we do have in Vancouver that, you know, we weren't really aware of previously. You know, we knew about, like, the Caribbean community, which is most of our own family and our own people that we are so used to seeing, but a lot of the younger generation in Vancouver, a lot of people who, you know, coming from Nova Scotia, Winnipeg, but it's like a whole new generation of young Black youth in the city, and I think that was extremely motivating, I think, for my eldest daughter especially, to see that, you know, she has solidarity with some others here. She's not alone.
Yeah, there's a lot of Black history in the city that's been forgotten, especially, you know, like Hogan's Alley. Hogan's Alley, because of the viaducts, was just destroyed in the 70s. I mean,
And like even learning about the Georgia, about Hogan's Alley now is it's mind-blowing that, you know, living in this city as long as we have, this isn't even things that they've taught us in school, you know, and we go through these areas quite frequently. We've gone there on field trips, and never once has, you know, a mention of Hogan's Alley been brought up. Like, Jimi Hendrix lived down there, for God's sake. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that when the viaducts come down, they'll probably do a little bit more, maybe, I don't know if they'll rebuild it, but I know Wade Compton thinks that something should be done to mark that area at the very least.
Absolutely. Actually, funny enough, I went to another event a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, where Wade Compton was a speaker, actually, as well as Randy Clark, our old
from Tupper. Vice principal.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a speaker there, and he did speak about the viaduct and Hogan's Alley and what should be done to kind of commemorate the history that was there. Because there is a lot of history that came with Hogan's Alley that has, like you said, been essentially forgotten.
And then you just think of the people that lived there and that were displaced in the 70s. I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, and it was... Yeah, that's traumatic for them.
Yeah.
What I hear, it was a really good neighborhood, and you know, a lot of people were unfortunately, you know, as you mentioned, displaced,
yeah.
and they were happy in their homes and happy in that area. And I think that's what people want them to, that's what they want them to remember Hogan Valley as, not as a ghetto as it's,
no, not at all.
Been,
it's, yeah, there was very, there were successful know? Businesses in the sort, and it was a real, you know, it was
yeah.
like, sort of like a, they had restaurants and shops and, you know, sort of like a Chinatown.
Very popular, or,
yeah.
yeah. Very popular area. So a lot of history there, and it's been great. It's been great learning about it with my children. And, you know, we're not going to just keep this as something that we do in the month of February. Definitely
yeah.
I'm going to keep this going throughout, you know.
Yeah.
For as
yeah.
long as we can, we always need, we can always learn more
yeah.
about ourselves. So.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Wade's. I've had him on the show before. He's done tremendous work in terms of his advocacy.
Yeah, he's great
for Black history, and his books obviously are must reads in the fiction that he's written about Vancouver. I'd highly recommend his stuff. So you asked me earlier about my weekend. It was rather busy. I went to the Crazy Eights Film Festival on Saturday, and I went to it last year as you know, someone to see all these six short films that these teams put together in 8 days. This year, I had a horse in the race because my cousin Phil produced a film, and so it was just great to see his work and his team's work on the big screen. How well received it was. I mean, there's something like 1,800 people in the room.
Wow!
And so it was nice, you know, to be there with family, and
that's
then
a pretty big turnout.
Yeah, so I was with my mom and my uncle and my aunt, and so you watch the films at the Center for the Performing Arts, and then your ticket lets you into the party at Science World.
Okay.
And you know, they've got DJs and they've got snacks and, you know, crackers and cheese and things, and then a cash bar, and so.
Right.
My mom, my aunt, my uncle, you know, who are in their 60s,
mm-hmm.
we were there till 12:30.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, again,
it's quite the party.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did recommend it last year, and I recommend it again this year. You see some very entertaining films. I thought all six films were they were very well made. You could tell that there's a lot of heart. And the stories were quite interesting, and they're all shot in this part of the world. And, yeah, so that was my Saturday, and then Sunday was Sunday night was dinner with friends from high school. And I bring this up because I did notice on Facebook this week that a former colleague of ours had mentioned that we're coming up on our 20th high school
mm-hmm.
reunion, and that because it's about a year and change, less than 2 years, that this is the time to start planning a 20-year reunion. I you know, I'm for it, but it's hard to believe it's 20 years. I mean, we've talked about that in the past, about how just quickly is time's passed for us.
Doesn't it? It goes by so quickly.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's been 20 years.
No.
But, yeah, it's coming up, and... yeah, we got to start planning. I don't think there's any easy way with this. Any easy way around this?
Well, yeah. Any event it always takes you know, serious planning and resources and the sort. And,
For sure.
Do you think it's well? I guess it's 20 years is something that one has to mark. But I mean, in the age of Facebook, I mean. As well, I mean, like I mentioned, I had friends with friends from high school this weekend. So I see these people from time to time. I mean, I'm sure you're the same. You have friends that are from our class, right? So
I do.
It's not urgent, is it? Well,
it's urgent.
It is. Okay, yeah.
Well, we don't know. It's not urgent, but, you know, let's not. We don't want to be that class that was so lazy we couldn't even, like, prepare our own 20-year reunion, right? It's just kind of a marker in time of, you know, we graduated 20 years ago, and I guess traditionally we, you know, they want people to get back together and remember those times.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I went to the one 8 years ago, I guess, when it was the 10-year anniversary. That was a very small function that got put together on Facebook, and then we all met at some restaurant. And I thought that was very – I didn't stay for the whole thing because I had somewhere else to go. So I stayed for like an hour and a half. And it was very pleasant to see all the old faces, I guess. And but, yeah, I don't know. I just – I mean
– Yeah, I didn't go to that one. I just had a child.
Yeah, so I guess you'll be at the 20th. For me, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, if the 20th thing was this weekend – I would not have gone because I had all the stuff that I had to do, right?
Well, you were busy. We were busy. But, you know, we got 2 years. We can plan. I mean, for somebody like myself, 2 years, that's just about the right amount of time I need to
make sure your weekend's free. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, I think I can plan for that. You know, I think I can make some time.
Yeah.
I can't speak to what's going to happen in 2 years. I could be busy. Who knows? But yeah. I intend to try to make the time for that. And who knows? I may not even care in 2 years to see everybody again. There's times that I don't really care anymore.
Yeah, so a lot of those...
I see the ones that I want to see.
So
but I think it's a party at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, so a lot of the I don't know if the resentment is the right word, but a lot of these things that happened in high school, the social frictions and the sort... I mean, after 20 years, they're still there, or 15 years?
You're going to come back up? Well, I'm pretty petty, so, yeah. I'm still going to have some animosity towards some people over some things.
There you go.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'm petty. So,
so maybe you'll be someone who'll go to the 25th anniversary instead.
Well,
right?
You know, like I said, I have volunteered to help with this 20th, but I've made it, you know, apparent to the other... organizer, you know, we're gonna have to set up some sort of page because surely there are people I can appreciate that I don't talk to or care to talk to from our year, and so I more than likely won't be reaching out to them. They'll have to she'll have to reach out to those people, or they're gonna have to.
You know, I went to a couple of weddings of friends of ours, or friends of our, you know, classmates of ours, I should say.
Right.
And I did notice that, sometimes if you didn't know the people, but you knew the people, obviously, right, but you still didn't talk to them. They'd be on the other side of the room or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it's still very much like high school.
It's still very, very much like this, yes.
So I don't know.
I expect it to be. I mean, Jesus, the workplace is like high school, and I don't even, you know, we don't even know these people like that.
The White House is like... high school, right?
Yeah. That's true, too. So I expect there to be some sort of, you know, people giving side eyes, people, you know, people being petty, myself.
I guess the only time is if there's a funeral, God forbid, that's the only time we can be civilized to one another, right?
Well, you know, all we need is that liquid encouragement, so maybe this will have to be a non-alcoholic event.
Well, I probably would
I could see some fisticuffs coming out if there's alcohol involved. I don't know.
But do you find that older people who've gone through 20 years like that, I mean, they have the same sort of... I mean, I did talk to someone recently who went to our high school, and she had her 20th anniversary recently. Couple years ago or a year or so ago, and she said it was you could tell that people were a lot older, you know, they were like 38 and they weren't really down to party because they had to go home and watch the kids or something like that, so it was not, you know, it, as the kids would say, it was not lit.
Oh, well, that's not cool.
So you want a big party, right? You don't want just...
Well, this has got to be lit. Like,
what does that even mean? I don't even... I use these words and I don't even know what the hell they mean.
It's got to be lit, like fire. It's got to be hot.
There you go. Okay, well...
So, you know, I'll admit, I do get tired probably before noon. Like, before...
Noon.
10 o'clock, before noon, definitely. During the work week, yes. I I literally get to the office and I'm ready for a nap by 11.
Yeah.
but no, I like on a week night,
yeah.
I mean, this whole week I've been going to sleep before 10 o'clock. So
oh.
My track record is not looking very good so far. I don't know what that's going to look like in 2 years.
Well, I guess
we might end up just having a brunch.
Yeah, like, or like a Denny's at 4 o'clock
early
dinner.
Brunch,
yeah.
You know, we can still have drinks, but we're gonna have to get home before bedtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
For us elderly folk, and you know, for me, I know there were people asking about bringing their children, and you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Mm. But. My children are grown. In 2 years, they'll be even more grown.
And they won't want to go to this.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, you're...
My eldest, I can barely get my eldest to, like, even...
Yeah, both of your kids will be in high school by then, right?
Will they? Will Sophia? No. The little one will only be in, like, grade 6.
Yeah, well, still, I mean, that's seven. Not... Yeah, that's not an age where she wants to get dragged around with mom, right?
No, not an. I hope. Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
It's not an age where I want to drag her around with me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess some people have had babies in recent years, and so.
Yeah.
So you found that because I had dinner, as I said, with two friends who brought their spouses this week.
Right.
Weekend, and they don't have children, so. It was fine for them to hang out on a weekend.
On
night.
A weekend,
yeah.
Night.
But I mean, I did find that because I was the only single person there. That like by 9 o'clock, they were ready to pack it in and just go home. You know, and I still wanted to go out and lift a few.
You were ready to party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like,
I mean, but you've had kids, but I in all the time that I've known you. Kids have not been a hindrance to, I mean, have they been a hindrance to, say, having a social life?
You know what? It's only as much as we let it be. I could probably, when they were younger, yes, a bit, only because Simone was not old enough to, like, they weren't old enough to stay home
alone. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that required, if I did want to go out, it wasn't always spontaneous. It usually had to be planned. It usually involved me.
Your birthday or something. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Making arrangements and things. But now that Simone is older, and they can stay home by themselves pretty much, it's a lot more, I have a lot more flexibility. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to have a full life again. I like to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, like, I couldn't up and leave for a weekend and go to Vegas or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have to leave them with my mom. But, if a friend calls me and wants to go out for the night, I can do that.
Yeah.
If I want to stay out and have a few drinks,
See,
I can do that.
And that's the ironic thing is that these two couples that I know don't have kids and yet are not conducive to wanting to... You know what I mean? I mean, at 9 o'clock, they're ready to turn in. I mean, that's sad.
It's kind of boring,
yeah.
And especially on a weeknight. I mean, that's the thing. People don't.
Sunday was a weeknight, so I guess maybe were it Saturday, they would probably be more.
So yeah, like that's because I consider it. Like it's a work night.
Yeah,
because
right? We all have to work on Monday. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know, but even if as a person just without kids, I would just appreciate. I mean, me now, I just appreciate any time that I have without my kids. So if I'm able to stay out a little longer and have a few more drinks, I'm probably going to do that.
Yeah. Well.
I went to an event last night with my grandma, and it went on kind of late.
Yeah.
But I don't, this is a once a year kind of thing that I do with my grandma, and we don't get to do it often, so I stayed out with her, and then I got home and, stay up a little later to do the things that I needed to do during the day. So you're going to pay for it on some end, but, you should still live your life.
Right.
Especially when you don't have children.
That's what I should do, right?
You should enjoy your life, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, enjoy all the alcohol you can now.
And then I'll pay for it later, yeah.
Exactly.
So you mentioned this you mentioned this event that you went to Sunday night, and I did see a picture of you and your grandmother mm-hmm. that you posted on Facebook, and it was a Black History event, is that right?
It was.
Yeah, and I noticed, may I mention the outfit that she was wearing, if you could, I mean, we're on the radio, so you'd have to describe it for people listening to us.
Well, it's like, basically like an African outfit.
Yeah, it was like a black dress with, it was black and yellow, I should say, right?
Yeah, it's like a black, and it has a yellow print to it. And then, she gets them specially made, and like a head wrap. And she gets them specially made by an African seamstress that she knows that makes these outfits for her that she loves so very much.
Yeah, and so the print is the same in the hat as it is in the dress, right?
It is,
And, so, I mean, that's not her traditional ethnic garb, if you will, right?
No.
Yeah. Because she's not from Africa, she's from Jamaica.
Yes.
But this outfit was of an African...
It's like an... And actually, at the
same time... Yeah, if people have seen pictures, say, like, I'm trying to think now, Winnie Mandela.
Basically, anybody that went to see Black Panther this week, if you saw anything they were wearing, very similar to those.
There you go. So she wore it because she felt she was paying respect to Black History Month, right? Or marking
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's a lot of other ladies that are in the traditional African garb as well.
Yeah.
At these events. I actually feel left out because I don't.
You didn't wear one? No.
I don't have one. I have to get one made.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a good place to bring up, because everybody's been talking about these pictures and the videos that they've seen of Justin Trudeau in India.
Right.
He and Sophie and the children, they're all dressed in you know, traditional Indian outfits, costumes, garb, whatever you want to call it. And, I mean, he's had a past as a drama teacher, and she's a yoga instructor, I guess. Was a yoga instructor at one point. They're very, I don't know how to put it, I mean, over-dramatic even seems mean to put it that way, but they're very emotional people. And so a lot of people found a lot of these pictures out of India a bit much to take. I remember saw one tweet where one Indian person said that it was more Indian than Indian people, you know, get away with, if you will.
Yes. It was a bit much.
Yeah, and I mean, there were some photos where they're standing there with their hands together, and
their eyes closed.
Yeah,
I saw that. It's like, really, come on, what is this?
So some people,
I don't know.
Some people, you know, chalked it up to cultural appropriation.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know. Like, how do you feel about that? Is it cultural appropriation, or is it just like,
well, you know,
a white boy that doesn't seem to understand his place here?
I mean, but boy, you know, now that you bring that up, that's, I mean, to think of the white privilege that he thinks that he can get away with that.
But I'm not being facetious, but that's totally what it reeks of to me.
Yeah.
It's like, it's your privilege as a white person that, I mean, at some point you must feel entitled to do this. Because it's like, wearing the clothing is one thing.
Yeah.
But, and I can understand respecting their culture, but why are you, like, you're going to the next level. Like, it just seems so extra, you know?
Yeah.
So extra. Would you or I do that? If we went to India, I don't know. I've worn a sari out of respect, you know, if I've gone to the temple with a friend.
Sure.
Or if I go to an Indian wedding.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, I've been to an Indian wedding. I did not dress up in the whatever the Nehru thing is. You know, I've been to a Jewish synagogue and I've worn the yarmulke. But that's about it. You know what I mean?
And I don't think they're going to respect you any less.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seemed a bit much because of who Justin Trudeau is, and right. You know, because we've known him for a while now, you know, we know what he's sort of like. It did seem overly dramatic. A lot of the Indians, I don't think were particularly impressed with it. I mean, some were, you know, some of the political people weren't terribly impressed either.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are laughing at him.
Yeah. But here and there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's what, I mean, if you watch the Sunday shows in Canada, a lot of them were saying that this trip to India was a disaster. I mean, it took him several days to meet the Indian president. Or do they have a prime minister? I can't remember. Anyway.
Prime minister? Yeah, maybe.
It took them days to meet Modi. And, you know, Modi would say, greet other leaders at the airport when they arrived. So, you know.
Well, what was this I heard about having Vij?
So that was the scandal that I guess Trudeau brought Vikram Vij over to cook
his meals.
Yeah, or you know, to showcase, you know, his restaurants or whatever his brand is.
No.
Indian business.
Our dollar.
Well, that's not, no, if you think about it, all these trips, they're all...
It's on the taxpayers' dollars.
Yeah, and they always bring business leaders over. So, for example, in previous governments, they would bring, say, someone from the tech sector, someone from BlackBerry, for example, and then they would showcase their products to whatever country they're going to. So it's not terribly unusual. It was...
I just feel like it's that Vij is an individual. It's not an entity. He's an individual.
No, he's a brand. I mean,
who's created a brand.
All of those restaurants, the food product line. I mean, I can see why the Canadian government would want to showcase that to the Indians in terms of, you know, here's someone you could do business with, and that's what all these trips are for, right? They're not tourist trips. They're trips to forge relationships between business and government. So that when they showcase Vij to the Indian government, if he were to do business there later on, whether he was a food company, food processing company, or say even a petroleum company, when they bring people like that over, they can get access to the right officials, and then, you know, they can do business quicker there.
So why is this not a connection that Vij could have made himself with people in India?
No, but see, that's the point of a trade mission like this, is that the government brings people from different sectors. So he'll probably, on this trip, when we don't know this, he probably had someone in the credit card field, for example, so that they could go there and then see what workforce there is for call centers or for computer chip manufacturing. So he brings all these people.
He has to know that there's a huge avenue for call centers.
Yeah, so that's why you bring these leaders over. So he would have someone from, I was going to say Sprint, but there's no one in Sprint anymore in New Brunswick. But whatever the big telecom company is in New Brunswick that needs call, you know, and they would bring these individuals over as part of the trade mission. That's not new, and Vij is not out of the ordinary. The problem I think that CTV had, or was it Global that uncovered this, was that Vij was a known supporter and endorser of the Liberal Party and Justin Trudeau, and at the same time was being reimbursed for his services.
Yes, exactly.
But so your point about him making the connections himself, no, he would have to go over there and make the connections with this government mission. When you have the
another thing that I just picked up off of the whole bigger thing.
Yeah, so what it looks like is he's got a job for a week to go over there and cook for Justin Trudeau. At the same time, you know, he spoke at a rally. He endorsed them publicly. Was this some sort of...
I think there's just too much riffraff there.
That's the same. The same thing could be said about unions and the contributions that they make.
Hey,
the endorsements.
And I do not disagree with that. You know, I think it's actually kind of crazy the amount of our members are members' money that goes towards supporting certain political parties that we may or may not be in support of ourselves as individuals. So that's, I find that to be an issue as well. And unions, a lot of these parties are almost fully funded by unions. You know, I'm sure, you know, once you see the financial statements, you see how much money these people put into politics. So I don't agree with that either. But this little deal with Vij, this personally I don't agree with, especially.
Yeah.
Because he has the money. I mean, even if he
I don't think he has the money. I mean, he was on that show for one season, and then.
Are you kidding me? I'm sure he has the money.
No.
Do you see? He's got his little stands in Rogers Arena. That shit ain't cheap.
No, but
what they're charging for the food.
But the margins on rent.
Not even that good.
No, if you followed the news with I mean, the margins.
Well, the rent, it's expensive.
Yeah, but the margins on food. Restaurants is very small. That he's not. I mean, he was on that. What's that? Dragon's Den for one season.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he wasn't investing. He didn't have the money to invest. That's why he left after 1 year, right?
Are you serious?
Well, that's what I read. I mean, I don't watch that show, but I mean, that's what I read. He was on there as a dragon.
Well, what the hell did they bring him on the show for?
Well, he's a well-known brand, and I think that's the same reason why Justin Trudeau brought him over.
He is, and that's why I can't believe that he doesn't have the money to pay for himself to get to India.
Well, I mean, he at the same time, he could say he's, you know, he needs to be reimbursed for cooking for these various dinners that he's catering, right? So, I mean, essentially, that's...
Politics is really trash. When it comes down to.
Well, I mean, we have you have two days, I guess, to fill that survey that the provincial government has put out about the electoral system.
Did they? Where is it?
It's
maybe I need to fill that out.
February 28th, and I guess they want people's opinions to what system we want to replace the current system we have here in BC. And you know, I think if you have proportional representation, it'll change a lot of these things. I mean, it'll make unions or big business less prone. I mean, not less prone, but I mean, their influence will be lessened if the system is different. And that's why you have people in the NDP and in the Liberal Party here wanting to keep the current system because that's a system that they seem to benefit from.
Yeah, I mean, some of them. I don't know. I see a lot of people speaking out of both sides of their mouths. So it's hard to say, but I think that nobody should be getting an unfair advantage.
And
I think, you know.
So you'd be for proportional representation then, I guess, when we have the referendum in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess I am too. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, that's my initial.
I voted for STV
right?
The two previous times. And, I mean, STV was not a great system, but I mean, it's, you know.
And how does that work?
That's where you rank it's like the Oscar ballot. You rank.
Right.
And then so if your first choice gets knocked off, your second choice goes to the, you know, your
yeah, see,
your
ballot's
weighted.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
But see, that would be a fairer system than the one we have now, and that's why union money and big business money would be less potent. Right?
Well, yeah, I just think any system where people are getting an advantage because of their financial status is not a fair one.
Well,
so if any one candidate is getting an unfair advantage because they happen to have more money backing them, money that's coming from outside sources at that, I don't know. But at the same time, you know, you got to really feel for the candidate who doesn't have any money because a lot of them don't.
And then won't be able to get any votes, right?
Right. Yeah. A lot of them don't. I know a lot of them are, you know, in order to just keep the campaign office running, a lot of them are relying on, if not union funds, union support as in volunteers and call-outs. A lot of work goes into these campaigns, right?
Indeed.
A lot of work and a lot of resources. And I don't know, but I don't know about this. The funding is, that's still a very sticky issue for me, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll continue the conversation, I guess, in the survey is on till the 28th,
okay.
I guess the referendum will be in the fall.
In the fall, right.
Between now and then, I guess we'll have to convince ourselves and each other as to which system is probably best.
Well, just in case you decide to run for mayor or something.
No.
And get those things sorted out first.
No.
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 Oh, well, that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, February 26th.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back next time.